So we just leave it in.
Leave it in?
Yeah.
I'm going to restart because I'll cut it out.
All right.
Here we go. We are back with the Buffalonian podcast. I'm Joe Calley. As always, I'm joined by none other than Dom Loss. And Dom,
I thought you were joyed to see me. But
yeah, I was. I'm overjoyed, as always, to see you. I listen, there's a lot to cover here from last week. I think Mac Hollins and Curtis Samuel were the only. Did we cover Curtis Samuel last week? No. Who did we cover last week?
Up to Mac Hollins.
Up to Mac Hollins.
Exciting here at Buffalonia.
Yeah, so we got some Bills news to cover. And of course, wouldn't be the Buffalonia podcast without talking about the Sabres for at least a couple minutes.
I do have a controversial take to say first.
Okay. Starting out controversial. I like
completely
it.
Completely off topic.
Like, yeah. What you got?
But first off, baseball coming up in a couple, in about 10 days for the Bison. So hopefully the weather
clears
and snow on the ground.
Yeah, not a winter wonderland out there. Yeah.
But did you know that the MLB season was starting early this morning at 4 a.m.?
Maybe.
I maybe saw a singular social media post.
I knew it was starting today. I didn't realize it was at 4 a.m. And after watching that Sabres game last night, there was no way I was making it up for that.
I'm just saying that it's just horrific, horrific marketing.
Yeah.
Like
4 a.m. Great. You know what time it is in California then? One in the morning.
Yeah. Like, you're just like completely shutting off like your main source.
Yeah.
I know it's supposed to be in South Korea and that's cool. Like, I'm not like that.
No, but that maybe, awesome. Maybe play the game at 6 p.m.
Like, why?
Or something like that. You know what I mean?
Why can't they play the game? I can't even remember what that would be, Korean time, but like, yeah, why wouldn't they play the game like in Korean time where it would be also available for people not to be up at 4 in the morning?
Yeah.
Like, even if it was like,
let's just do like midnight.
Even if it was like, like 9 a.m. West Coast time and 12 p.m. Like, is it 12 hours ahead? So that would be midnight their time. That'd be kind of weird. But like, I don't know. Like, I still don't understand. Like, that's, I'm sorry. A controversial take. That was just stupid. That was
100%.
The idea is cool.
The idea of playing in Korea is cool.
Awful.
The timing decision was awful.
And the promotion of the event was awful. Like,
yeah. I know they had no one around here. I'm going to be honest with you. Unless you're a diehard baseball fan, I'm not going to speak for you. But
I saw the highlights, but I was like, bro.
Well, yeah, that's what everyone's seeing because Sabres played till 1 a.m. last night. So, you know, that would put you out of that if you watch that. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But let's get into that Bills news now. Okay. Post Mac Hollins. We gotta cover some ground here.
It's been interesting, but
yeah, I mean, Brandon Bean's making some moves. I like it. So I've liked what they've done.
Well, I mean, they brought back Ty Johnson, so they brought back their primary backup running back.
He played really well this season, so that was a great re-signing for me.
I agreed, and he also plays special teams as well, so I used to kick off returner. So we will talk about Curtis Samuel in a minute because that's obviously the big fish.
Yeah.
But they added Casey Toothill, I think is how you pronounce his name.
Toothill.
Something
like that. T-O-O Hill.
Toothill. I think, yeah. Sense. But he seems to be a solid, just kind of rotational edge.
Just a Shaq Lawson.
Honestly, God, probably. I mean, kind of your typical fourth DN. So with Vaughn, AJ, and Groot, I mean, kind of maybe. And you also have Kingston Johnson, so maybe they add like a rookie in the draft, but I think that kind of need is kind of with AJ coming back, with adding Toothill, I think that's kind of eliminated that as like a massive need that they need to fill. And with that being said, I mean, they extended Taron Johnson, which was kind of expected,
but that's phenomenal. I mean, he's the highest paid nickel corner now, right? Slot corner.
Yeah, Kenny Moore, I think, got 3 years, $30.3 million.
He got him by a mil.
I got him by like less than a mil.
Less than a mil.
Look at that, Eric. But
yeah,
more than deserved. I think it cleared up a little bit of cap space as well, as did Dion's did. I think they're like $10 million in cap space right now. I don't know if that's I think that's $10 million cap, and then it's gonna be $20 million in June.
Oh,
so usually you need about 8 to 12, they usually say, for your draft picks.
Yeah,
so they still have a and maybe they have another level thing to pull. So yeah, I think it's been an interesting, before we talk about Samuel, I just think it's been interesting so far of where they've been able to hit the Friedens. You know, they get the third linebacker, they bring back their running back, they kind of get their edge kind of what we think it's going to be, maybe they have one more body, and then they get Daquan back, they get the backup quarterback.
Money Mitch on a vet minimum. Would you look at that?
They get kind of their fifth wide receiver.
Yeah.
So going to Curtis Samuel.
The big boy.
We talked about how they probably have one swing. I think maybe now you could argue with the moves they made, if the Terran extension and kind of how Knox reworked his deal, they probably like open themselves, and the Deion extension, the free up cast rates, they probably open themselves up for another swing.
Yeah, they might. And that, I think that might go safety.
We'll talk about that in a second. But yeah, so I think last week we were talking about like what position would you want? And I think I might have said safety because I was like, oh, I think I might just double down receiver in the draft. But now it seems like they don't need a really. But it could be up to 30, so
yeah,
whatever that means, like some kind of incentives or whatever. But this is a guy that I think a lot of people were targeting ever since Joe Brady officially became the offensive coordinator,
right? And that's he's got speed you haven't had on the Bills offense on receiver wise.
Yeah,
I think that's gonna be a huge change. Yeah, and he has great look at the highlights, look at the separation he gets. You weren't getting that with Gabe Davis. You know what I'm saying? Like, Gabe was that bigger guy who wasn't going to run super fast. But this guy's, he's got speed. And that's something Josh Allen really hasn't had, just a downhill receiver that could just get out there and get separation. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he's not like the X receiver that I think the Bills kind of need.
Yeah.
So he's not like super, and he's kind of the Swiss. Inside you have Shakir, so you really have three receivers now that are incredibly, can move around the formation.
You can confuse some defenses.
I think he's also a good gadget-ish player. Like he definitely has good rushing ability as well, like in these end arounds or the screen passes. That I think
is he Isaiah McKenzie with hands?
Oh, he's significantly better. He's significantly better than
no. I know that. I'm saying his role on the team. He's Isaiah McKenzie with hands because he can actually catch.
I think that, and also he's just a better route runner. Like, yeah. McKenzie was always like, if you told him to run in one line, like, he could beat his guy.
But,
like, if he needed to do
some cuts, it was
some
over.
He's not efficient with his speed.
No. Or, like, he's not a route runner like Diggs.
True.
You're essentially getting Diggs route running and McKenzie's.
Maybe a little separation. Lower than Diggs route running, because that's, like, top.
That's top.
But, like,
you know what I mean?
Matt Harmon, who is the fantasy sports expert for Yahoo.
Wide receivers.
Is a big wide receiver guru and has the reception profile of, you know, he kind of breaks it down into two kind of graphics that I think are very interesting is what routes are being run.
Mm-hmm.
So you learn a lot about like the different routes wide receiver run. So what percentage of routes, you know, screen, dig, you know, fly, post, whatever.
Yeah.
And he also breaks down in a second graph about the success. And when you look at Gabe Davis's profile versus Kerry Samuel, it's a big difference. Like when the news broke, Harmon was very like very happy to say that it was a massive upgrade over Gabe. So I think receiver wise, yes. Kerry Samuel's a massive upgrade. He for the fourth consecutive year ranks in the 80th percentile of success rate against man.
Yeah.
Which is kind of what we need, right? Like Gabe was not a very good guy against man. And, you know, Diggs and Shakir kind of opens up something, you know, the Chiefs, the team that has beaten three of the last four plays a significant amount of man. And you got to get guys that could beat man coverage.
Mm-hmm.
So that's big. And he also this year in 2023, a career high in success rate against zone. So that's good to see. And then his best year came when, guess who was offensive coordinator? Joe Brady in Carolina with 1,000 total yards.
Well, Joe Brady is something of an offensive guru, you could say. Look at the LSU offense. He's the passing offense coordinator there. So hopefully the reunion is as exciting as everyone hoped it would be, hopes it will be. I think it will. I'm excited.
Well, I think it also leads to we're seeing Joe Brady's kind of stamp on the offense.
We're getting out of Ben Dorsey's scheme a little
bit. Ty Johnson was not a factor at all in the offense until Joe Brady came in.
Mm-hmm. Murray was the older version of that. You know? Tave Murray was the older option in, you know, essentially kind of the same runner as Ty Johnson.
Sure.
But you got the younger guy in. Yeah, significantly older.
But I think that's like, we see Ty Johnson, we see you know, Curtis Samuel, we see Matt Collins. So, like, we're seeing, you know, maybe a change in the offense a little bit more to Joe Brady's style.
Mm-hmm.
Like, again, this is an important offseason for the Bills offense because it's, you know, you had all this turmoil in going into the season and then throughout the season a lot more.
Yeah.
And now it's kind of like you have to. Style is the key word. I don't think it shuts down first round wide receiver, but I think it's important, an important add, because it doesn't put the pressure on you to have to draft the receiver with that first pick, especially if maybe the board isn't falling, you know, the way you want. It's not a situation where with Kyrie Elam where it's like, oh, the cornerback, we just came to the draft being like, we need to probably draft like the best corner.
Yeah.
And like, we had one good corner left, and now we had to trade up and get him. And he kind of, so far, throughout his first 2 years, of kind of more of a miss than a hit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's
I'm gonna say bust right now because it's 2 years, and maybe he could turn it around.
Maybe he'll turn it around, but you're absolutely right. Sorry, I'm just getting distracted looking out the window, seeing it start to snow again. Uh-huh. So, no, you're absolutely right on that. He's not a bust yet, but he's probably a solid five paces away from getting there. He's close. He's close to the edge of the cliff, I would say.
Well, I'll say this. They have not signed a cornerback yet.
No.
And they let Dane Jackson walk. Mm-hmm. So it's looking like he's going to be the third outside cornerback.
Maybe they got trust in him. Maybe they know something we don't.
Well, they changed with the new defensive back. It's more of a man, press man guy.
And that was him.
That's kind of his forte.
Yeah,
at least it was coming out of college.
It was on the Florida Gators. Yeah, I mean, it hasn't been on the Buffalo Bills. I'll say that much. But they play a lot of nickel zone, so it hasn't really been his forte. So we'll see if it does make a difference. I mean, he couldn't tackle for the life of him, so that still has to get fixed. But
no, true. Yeah. But moving on from Samuel to, well, first I want to get into comp pick bingo because that's always fun to talk about. So the Bills signing Samuel crosses off a comp pick because he was signed for $8 million, you know, so that's one. That's a free agent. The comp picks are basically plus minus. Did you lose free agents compared to what you added free agents wise? Mm-hmm. So you want to bring in less free agents than you lose. Other than if it's someone's released, it doesn't count. Like Mitch,
okay,
doesn't count.
Yeah,
because Mitch got cut. Like Jordan Poyer signing with the Dolphins, that doesn't help the Bills because he got cut by the Bills.
Mm-hmm.
It's
right. Yeah, he's home now. Did you see that? He's already throwing fins up out there.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. Wonderful. Have fun getting swept twice a year. That's all I have to say.
Damn. All right. Mm-hmm. But Gabe Davis helps the Bills because he signed for a pretty big contract.
Mm-hmm.
Leonard Floyd, big contract, helps with the Niners, helps the Bills. Tim Settle signing for $3 million per year probably helps the Bills. Like that's probably above the threshold. I think it's like close to a little under $2 million. So that helps the Bills. Dane Jackson helps the Bills by signing that contract with Carolina. Tyrell Dodson, I believe, is going to help the Bills. I think that number came out where he signed for like $4 million for Seattle. So that's at least five players. I'm blanking if I'm forgetting anyone else who has left, but that's five players lost so far in the comp formula, and right now the only ones that it seems to have been added have been Samuel and Mac Hollins is at $2.7 million. I want to say 2.6, so that's probably going to be like above the threshold, so that probably will count. So I think it's plus three right now. I might be wrong. We'll see. Again, we'll see what happens.
Right.
There's probably a move or two to be made that may lower that number for the Bills, but right now it's looking pretty good that they're going to get another comp pick. Now they're probably getting screwed over again.
Yeah, they're going to get a fourth round for Tremaine Edmonds. That sounds right.
Yeah, but I will say this.
Aren't they challenging it? Am I mistaken on that? Isn't Brandon Bean kind of...
I think so. I mean, listen, the NFL has already changed the Bengals result.
The Bungles.
The Bungles, and the one guy that like is the guru, as Joe already used that word, so I'll use it again, for comp picks for the NFL has already like an analyst has said that, like, the Bills, and I'm blanking the crap out of who said the other team would be, but they should also be looking into, like, talking to the league about why their compensation was different, because everyone thought that the Bills were going to get a third-round pick. But,
yeah.
Well, also important news of the draft, the Bills actually moved up one pick in the fourth round.
Oh, look at that.
Because the Niners lost their fourth-round pick because of an accounting error.
Oh. I don't know. imagine being the accountant. Yeah. That's my question.
I don't know what that means, but, like,
yeah.
Cool. Okay, that helps. That
okay. That. Let's go through and comb through all the other accounting errors and pull picks from teams now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But
accounting error in the NFL. What kind of accountant are you hiring? Is the question.
Not a good one.
Apparently. Oh, the Bills also quickly, the new COO for the Bills and Sabres.
Yeah.
Pete Gwaley.
Seems like a good dude, worked with the Giants. So
if he worked in the biggest market in the country, New York City, I think he'll be just fine in Buffalo.
I'll be just fine. So, but go ahead.
I had to make a
note. No. I actually completely forgot about that. That was a good point. But last thing for the Bills. So it seems to me that the Bills are trying to at least add now defensively. Right? Offensively, you got Samuel. You kind of add to your wide receiver room with him and Hollins. Mm-hmm. You've made some changes to the offensive line room. D-line is kind of, you still put, but so you add the linebacker. So for me, the Bills aren't done. Like the 53 man roster isn't finished yet. Just pure, not even out of the draft perspective, I think they're going to add a safety.
Yeah.
Right. 100%. Maybe add another defensive tackle. I think they're going to add another defensive tackle too, I would assume.
They might. That's probably out there, but safeties, I think, where they're going to hit big.
Well, I think
Where they'll swing, I say.
It's not a, like, we're coming out of this like straight out of thin air, because like they've had defensive tackles and safeties visit over the last week.
Yeah. Julian Blackman was one of them.
Yeah, he's both
and he's solid too. Chiefs. I mean,
solid.
The rumor out there is if they do end up with both of them, they're the Poyer Hyde-esque.
They're not going to sign both.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's just
they're going to sign one.
The rumor mill.
Yeah, but I would assume they try to get Joseph Sebastian Day a defensive tackle as well, but he signed. God, I'm blanking on where he just signed. Whatever, he signed somewhere. One, I think it was the.
Maybe we got a fully guaranteed contract yesterday. Did you see that from Chase Young?
Yeah, that was stupid. Yeah. But for the Bills, I do think they're both are very solid players, and I think it adds to the both would be quality starting safeties, and then you kind of have rap/draft pick as like competing for the second spot. So again, I think in the next. Hopefully in the next week of the pod, so we have some news to talk about. I think we'll talk about a veteran defensive tackle, kind of in a one-year little low range deal, kind of being like the third defensive tackle.
Yeah.
And a starting safety will be signed.
Yeah.
But other than that, like.
Yeah, that's the Bills.
That's is the Bills.
Hey. That's the Bills right there. Look at that.
On the draft.
Yep. And we're going to, I mean, I'm excited. Maybe we'll do a mock draft. I think that might be a good idea next week or something like that, because, you know, we'll do one of those automatic ones where the teams automatically pick. You know what I'm saying? And then we'll act as the Bills front office. We'll do
the Bills GM.
We'll have the phone, we'll have the skit and everything. Oh, so yeah. we're gonna cook with a mock draft. There it is, right there. Look at the phone back there. We're gonna make the call. So
is that a rotary phone?
Huh? No, it's not a rotary phone. I gotta watch the movie Draft Day. I gotta get myself hyped up. Like with Kevin, even though it's about the Browns and they're in trouble. We're already extending Jerry Jeudy for a quarterback. You know, the creep or. Who else did they pick up behind him?
They signed up Pro Bowl quarterback Tyler Huntley.
That's right. Pro Bowl quarterback Tyler Huntley.
And Jameis
Winston. That's right. So I don't know what the Browns are exactly doing here, but they have the opportunity here to be worse than the Denver Broncos, I would say, in a cap issue with Deshaun Watson. They're this close to being at that point, all right? If they end up getting rid of him at any point, Russell Wilson looks like a chalk up. Looks like nothing wrong. Good on him. Going to Pittsburgh.
Interesting situation.
Yeah. But NFL free agency. So fun. We'll chat about it more next week. It's time to get into the Sabres for the last.
What an interesting 24 hours.
Yeah. Let me tell you, it's been the epitome of a Buffalo sports fan. Just highs and lows, man. Highs and lows. Ebbs and flows. It's just.
Ooh. Yeah. I like that.
Got the rhyme in there. It's tough. I sit here and I was being the hopelessly optimistic fan, I will say that. I was like, oh, 7.2%. They ran with two all at the end of last season. They got one game out. Currently, according to moneypuck.com, that's where I'm looking, Sabres are at 3.7%. So we're still doing better than at last season at this point, I will say. So there is hope to go off of.
It is just, how do I word this properly? Stupidly frustrating.
Yes.
Because the teams that are competing for this last wild card spot suck. Like, I mean, there's no, like, Detroit sucks. Washington is like a maybe the worst team ever to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, they're a negative 27 goal differential.
Yes.
The Islanders, you just dog walked. Like, they're not good either.
Mm-mm. Like, the Devils,
I'm not,
you can beat.
I'm not saying the Sabres are, like, good, but, like, the fact that they can't make the playoffs this year when I think the pace is, like, 89 points. Well, like, look, they would have made the playoffs of last year's team. I think, I don't know, I think that's the most frustrating thing is that if they played like they did last year, they'd be probably making the playoffs. We'd be talking about playoffs.
All of the top teams have literally almost the same number of points. It's neck and neck. You know what I'm talking about?
Except the Sabres are 5 points behind over
there. Right, exactly.
It's ridiculous. It's a situation where, listen, I'm not really that mad.
What, if you could have won more than two games in a row in the beginning of the season.
This is what I'm frustrated about. I'm not frustrated about last night. Like, I'm a little frustrated by Saturday because Saturday was just like, you played well in the first period, and like the second and third period, you just crapped the bed. Against,
you pooped.
Like, against a game seven playoff.
But game. Then you bounce back in the best way against the Kraken.
Like, you need to win that game because it's Detroit, and you get no points, they get two. Whatever.
Yeah.
That's the most frustrating game of the week. Yesterday, really not that frustrating. Like, you're in a back-to-back. Vancouver is one of the best teams in the NHL.
Your age goal has come up.
They have a homestand that they haven't done particularly well, and they had 2 days off. Like, they rest, home game for Vancouver. They're pissed that they haven't played well in the stand. One of the best teams in the league. Like, them losing that game is a whatever.
Yeah.
But the thing that's frustrating about that is that now because of their drop. Because of their performances, the first 60 plus games of the season, they couldn't afford to lose that game.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is why I'm so frustrated. It's like, yeah, you know what? Maybe if you don't drop back-to-back games, you know, two games to the Ducks, like, you could afford to, like, people wouldn't be so pissed off that you lost. Oh man, we lost about one goal on the road to Vancouver in a tough game. Like, no one looks at it like that way. Only people look at it as like, hey, lost regulation, no points.
Yeah,
like, and that's the you know, the whole
you couldn't even
themselves.
Get to overtime, right, to claw out that 1 point.
And listen,
we let an empty netter run.
Levi, okay, gambler. Okay, Levi wasn't even awful. Like, the first goal, okay, bad goal,
but no, like, but he was solid the rest of the game.
He was pretty solid. Now, did he have some rebounds that I think, you know, buffed his stats a little bit, sure. Like, but nothing he's gonna have to work on. But like,
he's also a first.
He had two goals. Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, if this team knew how to score, like, they would have won.
They do know how to score, though. Look what they did against the Kraken.
Yeah, I mean, but it's,
they do know how to score. They're just consistently inconsistent. That's what it is.
It's just annoying. It's just annoying.
It's frustrating
because I also, it's a funny stat of the Kraken. You know, Jeff, my boy Jeff, his name is Jeff, had a heady, the first hat trick of the season for the Sabres.
He's got 26 points on the season.
The Sabres had 8 hat tricks last year. That was their first this year. I mean, it's just
and they were 1 point out last year because they dropped 8 games in November straight.
Yeah. Yeah. It just, you know, we talked.
Where do you go from here? Is the question.
The frustrating part is last year we said, man, they just had some goaltending. Like, goddamn, we would have made the playoffs. And this year,
now Lukanen's looking to get a trophy at the end of the
this
season.
This year, like, yeah. Lukanen has been incredible, especially the, you know, ever since the
2024 calendar
year.
Yeah,
the 2024 calendar year. Hell, Levi hasn't really, if you look at his stats, he really hasn't been that bad. And he had a pretty good game last night.
Yeah, and in Rochester, he's kind of been lighting it up.
It's only been Comrie that sucked, but like, whatever. So I guess him going 1-7 is really caught. Like, him, honestly, God, him actually going 1-7 has like legitimately caught the team. But the goaltending hasn't been a problem. It's just like, and it's so weird because you look at their stats and it's like goaltending really not a problem.
They're right.
Their 5-on-5 expected goals, like, is above 50%, which is above average. Like, you're giving up, you're getting more chances than giving up in a full game.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a fact of, like, for every reason, their offense is taking a crap this year because they've been focusing so much on defense, and they don't have the power play this season to kind of, when they have a game like yesterday. Like yesterday, they didn't have anything going on 5-on-5. Like, they just didn't. They didn't have the legs. They just didn't have it.
Mm-hmm.
They had multiple power plays. Hell, they had a power play 2 minutes in the game.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Like, a minute into the game, they had a power play. Mm-hmm. Could really, like, get some momentum.
Their power play didn't do anything.
And they didn't mm-hmm. do crap. They had, like, 4 or 5, and they go 0-4. And it's like, okay, that's how you lose. Like, if you pot one or two, like, hell, like, you probably could win the game. Like, you could steal a game. Like, you deserve to win the game? No. But, like, your power play could have given them a chance to steal that game.
Yeah, except your power play is a dog laying on its back with its belly in the air. You just can't do anything.
And it's like, oh, it's, you know what it is? It seriously is this. It's Ovechkin syndrome. Like, Tage is a fantastic shooter, and Tage has the best slap. Like, Tage is a premier slap shot in the NHL.
Yeah, one-timer. He's one of the best.
The one T. Mm-hmm. But when you focus so much on the one T, like...
And trying to feed him the puck.
Why wouldn't teams just...
Cover him?
Like, you gotta have a counter. And, like, the Sabres, like...
And Jeff Skinner being on the power play is not the counter. Well, I'm saying that now.
Like, this is something that's frustrating. One is, they just need to move around more in the power play. Like, you saw Vancouver, like, they were moving around, like... Yeah. Looking for tips in front. Like, the Sabres never do that crap. And, like,
no, they just hold position.
Passing it behind. Like, they just pass it between three people the whole time, waiting for, like, the opening for the outside shot. One's like, hey, like, get it down. Everyone moves around, create some chaos, like, force the defense to communicate with one another.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, maybe you get, like, a free stick in the crease up for a deflection goal. Nah, they just ain't gonna do that. Also, a thing that's incredibly bothering me is, why the hell is the power play two getting so much time?
Yeah.
Like, they started a power play. And mm-hmm. I could marginally understand why maybe if, like, your power play one guy's, like, their line was on, like, they had just had, like, a 2-minute shift. Hey, like, we need a breather. Like, okay, right. I can respect that. But when your power play two was on and they killed the first minute and 20 of the power play not doing crap, it's like, okay, great. Now the power play one gets in, and they may not get they fail the entry the first time, and now all of a sudden they get in, and there's 20 seconds on the power play. It's like, why is that? Like, who? Like, that's coaching. Like, that's just stupid. Like, that's just a waste of power play. Like, why you? I'm sorry. Like, you play your best players. Like, this isn't youth league hockey, man. This is the national hockey.
Yeah, and guess what? I mean, last year it isn't youth league hockey, right? But last year they were playing street hockey. They were just. It's not that they didn't care, but they also didn't care. You know what I mean? The puck was going everywhere. That's the reason they created a lot of these scoring chances, right? This season, the offense has just been so slow. And you finally start to see it kind of move again. And they just can't do it. I don't get it.
They just can't be consistent about it. And it's just frustrating because they really are a talented
I think that
team.
Might be the title of the episode. It's just frustrating because I think both of us now have said it like 8 times.
It's just not, but there's no other word that describes the Sabres season better because they should make the playoffs. Like, this, like, the teams that they're competing against are not unequivocally better than them. Like, last year, yes, I think Florida was a way better team than the Sabres.
How
we were proven right by that because they almost won the cup.
Yeah.
Like, they won the East. I wasn't upset that the Sabres really missed the playoffs. I mean, other than the fact that, like, they missed by one point, and really, again, story of their lives. They played better in November. They probably would have made it. But, like, Florida versus them in a 7-game series, they probably would have lost. Whoever gets this last spot, I would probably bet money that the Sabres could beat them in a 7-game series. Because, like, they probably could. And I think that is the frustrating part, is that, like, the Sabres, to me, if they just played consistent, they would be in the playoffs. But,
But instead, they're consistently
consistent. I just don't know who that falls on. You know what I mean? Like, everyone wants to... You know, Mike Harrington wants to fucking shoot the players, apparently, because he keeps blaming them.
It's also Mike Harrington, though, and it's the Cleveland Tribune, but, so you can't really, you know...
True, but it's also like, okay, I guess the players have some aspect to do with it, but, like, it's also coaching, because it's like, how do you not know when to pull a goaltender? How do you butcher the power play consistently? You know, it's...
Darlene played better goalie last night. Did you see that?
No, Levi played well.
No, I'm not tanking on Levi. I'm just saying. Like, Darlene went back on defense and did his job.
I just... The way that they're playing this year... I'm sorry, but, like...
They're almost unwatchable some nights.
What is funny about all this is, like, oh, the way that they're playing, whatever. And it's changed a little bit since Bowen Byram, because Bowen Byram's
kind of... ignited the spark, I feel like, again. Sure. But then they stall still, you know? It's just...
They have games where they don't do it. And it's like, this is what is frustrating about the coaching aspect, is that it is quite clear that they've been told, hey, man, like, the way that we were playing last year is not just, like, we're just not going to be able to win games like that in the playoffs, which is true to an extent.
Yeah, but,
like, you're not going to win 6-5 games in the playoffs. But, like,
you neutered your offense.
But you're just, like, the Sabres play best, in my opinion, when they're playing free and it's high event and it's because what makes me laugh about this, too, is that if they play the way that they did last year in super high event, they have a goalie this year that can actually make
can actually do it. Yeah.
That can actually, like, cover their asses. Mm-hmm. So, like, why would we, like, why
are we aborting the mission now?
They're like, the Sabres would preferably lose 2-1 than 1-6-5. It's just mind-numbing to me. But why would you, I just don't understand.
It's kind of the sense of you just need, like, stop worrying about the defense, just outscore the opponent. Like at that point, you know,
I'm not saying that's the right mentality, but it's like, hey, like go out there and
just do it
and produce. Like go out there and play free.
Sell the on ice product. That's what you need to go out there
They need to go out there and play their game, and their game is speed and skill.
Ka-chow.
Speed and skill. Don't play this like. Are they technically like the technical skills perfect? No. Stop playing to that level.
Stop acting like they are. Like, yeah. At that point, right?
Yeah. Like why? Like listen.
Stop trying to be
something you're not.
An older team. Something you're not. You are a young team that's feisty and can move around quick. And you know, do that. Go back to that.
Play to your strengths.
Yeah.
The Sabres are not playing to their strengths. The Sabres are playing.
They do and they don't though.
No. The Sabres are not playing to their strengths in the project of this. The Sabres refuse to play an open-end game because because the coaching staff has believed them that if they play open-end hockey, they're not going to win. So they're playing to, I didn't even say, they're not bad at defending, but they're neutering their best skill. And yeah, they win a couple games more maybe because they defend a little bit, but is that them or is that just the goaltender playing better? Like, this is what I'm saying is that, like, if you're playing a style of hockey that is not a style fit to your team.
Yeah.
Like you're neutering the best qualities of your team. Now, I know there's injuries and maybe we don't know the full story. They can't go all the time. But like, there's too many quotes. I'm sorry. There's just been too many quotes by players this year of, we want to play a responsible game.
Mm-hmm.
And no one's saying play irresponsible game. No. But like, hell man, live on the edge a little bit. Like, that's what made you guys so great last year.
You were fun to watch because guess what? You kind of threw caution to the wind in some situations and just went for it.
Who cares if you give up an odd man rush? If you have a good goaltender.
You have Lukanen back there in the 2024 calendar year. You don't have to worry about it.
Yes. So first try by. Like,
yeah.
Like, take some chances. And we saw that. And, like, they started getting some results. And, I'm not going to chalk anything up to last night other than the fact that they had tired legs and the team deserved it better.
Yeah.
But it's the thing with Detroit. Like, Detroit, they played really good the first period. And then the second, third period, they decided. They have these moments of like they just don't know how to pass.
Yep.
It's like, okay, like we're just gonna pass people's skates and we're gonna like throw passes in the middle of the ice and to people that don't have a chance of getting the puck. Like that's
right.
That's intelligent hockey.
Yeah.
It's stupid. It's just I'm sorry. It's
only so only the finest of hockey in Buffalo. That's all I gotta say. It's just listen, the end is gonna be interesting. I'm not betting on them even remotely to make the playoffs at this point, but I guess the quote the great Botterill, we're playing meaningful games in March. I don't know.
It's just frustrating. Yeah. You could blame the players, sure. I think the players have some responsibility, but
yeah, they're probably just as frustrated as all of us.
At the end of the day, though, like, you know? I just think coaching matters, man. Like, coaching,
and if you don't clear out Granato necessarily, right? Because I'm gonna be honest, I don't mind Don Granato. It's you need to clear out the staff around him and figure something out.
The staff needs to move, and then you have to change the message in the room because
yes.
They're playing tight, and
yeah.
When they play tight, they don't play well.
Well, a lot of people want Rochester and the Sabres to switch coaches, send the development guy down to the AHL team and bring on.
Well, Abbott plays a little bit of a really wide open rip and that they probably get over.
Yeah.
That's like, they need to be if we're talking about high event to low event, they need to be playing like here, 2/3.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to play 50-50.
You're not pushing the red on the throttle,
like,
but you're around.
They need to go here. Abbott's like here. They need to be in the middle between Abbott and like what they're doing.
Right yeah. Now. No, but, they need to be where they were last season. It was it was golden. The Goldilocks.
All they needed was goaltending last season. They got the goal, and so it's like it's just whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But before we end the pod,
yeah, what you got?
As I do have to say, our statistician Ginge did do his punishment for the
yes, he did. Yeah, it
was a very entertaining 10 to 1s. I will just say,
I think we bet how much it would cost earlier in the show. Yeah, so what did it end up costing?
$77.
That is not bad.
So not bad. Most of it was actually just, I would say, well, it went 10 to 1s. Probably
just the food you guys got most of
25
it, right?
$30. So like it was about 50-50. Well,
you have to order something to go through.
40% was 35% was actually orders. We didn't actually get screwed that often. We did miss Tim. We did miss two, excuse me. we did miss two Tim Hortons from the perspective of like we ordered and there was no behind us, which is rough, but like we count those.
Still went and bought something. So
yeah, it wasn't worth like being oh, we need to go back around.
Yeah, no.
Like that was kind of lame. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, honestly, the worst punishment was it took 2.5 hours.
Yeah, the time commitment.
Well, the first Tim's we went to
had the line around the corner.
Had the line around the corner, so we're like, all right, well, this is
when you go in the late morning, that tends to be what happens. But it cleared out throughout the afternoon. So,
I would just say we did the punishment. It was a success. I don't think it was a cool punishment. I think it was the right amount of people in the car. There's 3 people in the car. I think the original was like, oh, we'll have like 8 people in the van. I was like, dude,
it would have been too much.
Too many, way too hot, 2.5 hours. But excited for next year's punishments. We still haven't fully 100% figured that out.
Decided, yeah.
But we're gonna wait and maybe see. A wing punishment. But
maybe, yeah. Chicken wing eating contest. We'll see.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. Without further ado, that's going to wrap it up for this edition of the Buffalonian Podcast. I'm Joe Calley. As always, I'm joined by none other than Dom Loss. Dom, how do we always end these, buddy?
Go Bills, baby.
Go Bills.